Please be seated. Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful day. Thank you, Lord. It's such an honor to be here. It's a joy to be here. Thank you for having me. I bring you greetings from my family, especially my husband. Thank you, Dr. Pastor Tony Tofade, for having me, for carrying this vision. And of course, your dear husband, Pastor BC Tofade, and thank you, Dr. Sarumi, for all the work so far in your tenure. It's been amazing since yesterday. Thank you all for your hospitality. So what are we talking about? A new season, right? How many people are ready for the new season that God has for us? How much time do I have? I have to... 50, okay, thank you. So it's exciting when we are on the edge of something new, right? Although for some people, they're on edge because they don't like change. Hello? They don't like change because change seems what? There is uncertainty about it. There is, oh, what's going to happen? Some of us want to know. We want to be sure of what we're going into. And that speaks to the different personalities that we have, right? So I trust God in these few minutes that He would shift us. Something will shift in our lives. And by the way, that was some three very powerful points to start to set us off with, you know. And I was like, oh gosh, it's going into my notes. But it's okay. We're going to have a lot of that going on because the Spirit is one and the theme is so excellent. So, Father, I thank you that you will use the slips of clay one more time to do what you have sent me here to do. No one will remain the same. In Jesus' name. And even those who are watching through the YouTube of the church, online, wherever you're connected from, you're really much part of us here. And I trust that God's power will touch you right where you are in Jesus' name. Isaiah 43 verse 19. And that's where the theme is taken from. It says, behold, I will do a new what? Thing. Now we shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? And I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Do you notice that he says, I. There's nothing there that says, you will do it. Hello? And that is God speaking through Prophet Isaiah there. He says, I will do what? A new thing. Now it shall what? Spring forth. He says, shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And that is to give you expectation, the kind of thing that he can do. Look at what he did with Mary's womb. Look at what he did with Elizabeth's womb that our sister read earlier on. Stories upon stories in the Bible. And even look at what he's done with your life. Amen. Amen. Look, the Bible says that we are epistles seen and read of all. So when we read the Bible, I love Bible stories. I mean, I love story of Esther. I love, you know, this Deborah, Jael, amazing women in the Bible that did great things. And we also saw their weaknesses and their frailties, right, Sarah? But do you know that you also, your name could really have been in there. But it had to end somewhere. The writers had to stop somewhere, right? So again, people are watching, they're reading you. They're reading the Acts of Dr. Tony. They're reading the Acts of, put your name there. Was it not the Acts of the Apostles? It was what they began to do, especially after Jesus had left. The Gospels about all what Jesus did, that they were writing. That's why Mark, Luke, and John, you see similarities. But it showed in their personalities. How Mark wrote is different from how Matthew wrote. I think Matthew likes history. I'm not on that table. I like to read Mark. Boom, how many chapters? He's covered everything. But Mark is like, who begat this and who begat that? For the historians, you want to know who gave birth to who. And I'm like, how does that help my destiny? Mark went straight to the miracles. Right? And we're not judging them. We're not, why did Mark omit some things that John wrote? Because some are sitting down and scrutinizing. This parable appeared 3 times here. It didn't appear here. So, no. The thing is that the beauty of our lives is our diversities and how God has wired us, how different we are. And when we understand this, we will even judge less. Hello? We will judge less because we see through, we see differently, right? Of course, we have to see through the eyes of God, but because we are wired differently, we do things differently. For example, okay, my husband always, well, he says to me, and ever since he said that, he stuck with me, and it's true. Look, we are, of course, we're on the same team, but sometimes there are certain things that we have different views about. Hello? Anybody there? Can we be real? So, but the thing is, one day he just said, look, the thing is, we're seeing the same thing, we're saying the same thing. Because sometimes it leads to arguments, right? This is, but after a while, you know, you just realize, okay, let me just back down. This is the head, and I am not the tail. Hello? Praise God. But one day he said, you know what? It's our approach that is different. He says, if I take the stairs, you take the escalator, we're still going to the same destination. That stuck with me ever since. So I add that to my understanding of how different we are, because that frees us in a lot of ways. It frees us in a lot of ways. It helps us to judge less. You know, so he said, you will use the escalator and I will use the stairs. We will still get there. All right, you might get there before me because it looks like you are seeing some things, you know, but we're still going to get there. So our methods differ, but we have the promise of God's word. Hallelujah. So he says that he's going to do what? A new thing. So I want to say one of the things about handling seasons and walking in the seasons that God has for us as women, as men generally, but today we're talking to women in particular, is to have understanding. Have understanding of where you are. Don't be confused about your former season. Don't be confused about what you are going through. It's about the season that you are in or that you are just coming out of. And guess what? It's temporary. So it's about understanding, really. Because what we know limits us. And that is why when we come to church or when we read our Bibles or listen to a message, a preacher, or what we hear, you know, something dawns on us, we get revelation into our hearts. We say, I see. Don't we say that? You were not blind before, but it's more like, even when your friend is talking, you're like, I see. Because you finally saw their point. Illumination, light dawned on you in that area. Hello? If you thought chickens could bite, and each time you see a chicken, you run. The day it dawns on you, the day you have the new information that chickens don't bite, you are what? More confident around chickens. What was the difference? Did the chicken change? It was your perspective. It was your light. It was your illumination. It was the information that came in. It transformed you. She read earlier Romans 12:2. I mean, that we could actually just share an amen there, right? Romans 12 said, don't be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. Change. Change is expected by what? The renewing of your mind. And how do we renew our minds? Information. The right information. And there is no truer information than the word of God. There is no true information than what God has said about you. Your teacher said to you when you were in sixth grade, you big head. Is that something to believe? It's about, so what does God say about me? Does God call me big head? No. Am I big head? No. So why are you sad? You throw it out. That information should not transform you. But some of us have allowed information like that to transform us and lead us into depression and anxiety. I'm not making light of depression. I'm not making light of, you know, people who suffer from anxiety, depression, and some of us have been in and out of that at some point in time or the other, right? And there's nothing to be ashamed of. Because when that happens, you're looking forward to what? Healing. How to come out of it. But sometimes it's in our thoughts. We are brooding on what we should not brood on. We are meditating on information that we should not meditate on. And guess what? Those information as well change us. They transform us, but they're not transforming us in the direction that we should go. It is not God that is bringing that change. It is the enemy that has bringing it that we decided to partner with. Yeah. If you believe it, that means you've decided to partner with that teacher that called you that ugly word. You cry over it, you what? It's because you've taken it to heart. Instead of saying, you know what? That doesn't describe me, so out. That's it. She's probably not seeing well. There are people that they've said, you are slow, you will never be anything, and you can't speak, you will not speak, and today they are preachers, they are speakers. World renowned. It depends on what you want to believe, the information that you want to allow to change you. So don't be confused about the seasons that you have been in or what you are going through. It's temporary, and that is confirmed in the previous verse of that scripture. Isaiah 43 verse 18. It says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. And then it goes in to say, behold, I do a new season. So can you link the two? Don't be concerned about the former things or the things of old. So I'm trying to say, don't be concerned about that former season that you're in or that you're in right now. I am about to usher you into a new one. Hello. So what is supposed to be our response? Be it unto me according to your word. Because he said what? In that verse 19, that scripture, we could just stay there. That scripture is loaded because it says, I will do a new thing. And I will bring it to pass. I will make a road. So I said, Lord, if you're going to do it, then I should rest in your work. Rest in your words. Rest in your words. And rest in your work. Hallelujah. It's amazing. But many times it's difficult for us to rest, right? Why? Okay, I'm throwing that question to you. Why is it difficult to rest? The negativity. What is wrong with the negativity? Why is it difficult for you to rest?
Unbelief.
Yeah? Because you are believing the negativity than the positivity that what God is saying. What else? I think sometimes we're not able to rest because we want to be in control. I want to wrestle with God. He said, I will do it. You are saying, no, you are the one. Lord, God, let me do it. Hello? Anybody been on that table? Yours truly, but no more. Before, but no more. Because easier to say, Lord. That's what Mary said. Eventually, she was wrestling with that information. But eventually, what did she say? Because she was like, how is this even possible? Pregnant, I don't even know a man. I've not. So how is that? The thing about her is that we must really, celebrate her or just acknowledge the fact that it had never been done before. For most of us, what God is saying, oh, I'm going to do this, we've seen it, him do it in somebody else. But we doubt whether he'll do it for us. But for Mary, there was no precedent. So you understand if she doubted. But she only doubted for a while. She still eventually said, you know what? Be it unto me according. Since you are the one that said it, do it. Hello? So let's not struggle for too long, you know, or drag it with God. He is the one that changes the seasons. Hallelujah. And you know, yes, I remember, especially here in America, we have four seasons in most areas, in most cities and states. Not everywhere in the U.S., but in most parts, we have the four seasons. In a country like Nigeria, we have two seasons. What? Rainy season and the dry season. Yes. Which we call what, the Harmattan and the whatever. But here we have, I believe, especially in North Carolina, we have winter, and we have spring, we have autumn or fall. We call it fall, right? And we have summer and then fall, in that order, right? So spring, and interestingly, he said, it shall what? Spring forth. So do you love your city? Do you love Durham, Raleigh? I'm loving it already, even though I came here yesterday for the first time. You love North Carolina, right? And those who are watching us, wherever, I don't know what city you are from, do you love your city? Okay, so those here, you love North Carolina. So in the winter, do you love her? That's a tough one. You love her, but you might not like her in that season, right? But it's still North Carolina. It's still Raleigh. It's still, even though Everywhere might just look white and the trees look dry, but it is still your city, right? But she's going through what? Change. And you are expectant for what? Spring. No, not summer. You don't jump to summer. You're expectant for spring. When we see that those flowers come, it's all of a sudden it's like, where did these flowers come from? Almost like overnight. And then you're excited that something is about to happen. Hello? That is the attitude that we should have. How to negotiate or navigate the seasons of our lives. So if in a season that doesn't look too beautiful, hang in there because it's temporary. He said, I will change the seasons. We are not the one that changes it from winter to spring, from spring to summer. It is God. He set that in motion already. And if he can do that with the earth, if he can do that with your city or the region where you live, how much more with you, his beloved daughter? Hallelujah. So just to lay a foundation, what you're going through right now, it's just a season. It's a phase. And it's going to change. And it's going to change. And he's telling us that it's going to change for what? The better. And when you are in that new season, don't keep remembering the former thing. Don't keep remembering the ugly thing. It's like we hold on to the past. The enemy always wants us to remember the negativity. Hello? I don't know if there's anybody like that. You know? And Dr. Tony, I think it's also, I keep coming back to how we are wired. I don't know, maybe it's going to set somebody free because we are different, right? Some people are more optimistic than others. Some are more pessimistic, right? I don't want to label anybody with those names. But when you understand yourself, then you can work on it. Why am I remembering the negative more than the positive? It's a leaning, but you've got to train yourself to see the positive. Hello? So that the light, the force of joy that is on your inside can really shine forth. Amen. Sometimes, from time to time, people tell me that, oh, you're so positive, upbeat, you know, always joy, happy, joyful, happy, and I'm like, without having to really confess negatively, I'm like, you don't even know what I'm going through right now, what I've been through. I don't look like what I might be going through in my life. Like, yes. But I have learned, I've not always been like that, but I've learned that I have to, and the Lord inspired in my heart that, have joy, be intentional about joy. Because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not happiness. Joy is from the inside. We have to cultivate it, whether things look good or not. It says, I will rejoice in my God, the horn of my salvation. Hello? So if he is constant, then when things don't look good, to experience change or to experience the season I am in that may not look too good, I have to look at the one who is the unchanging one. Hello? And have joy in that moment. You know, it's just to say to yourself, like, I'm still alive. I am still alive. Okay, there's a popular one we like to say, but do we leave it up? God is on the throne. If you believe he's on the throne and he has not left, why are you sad? Why are you crying? Because of your situation. But he has not changed, and he's able to change that situation. And it might just be even a test. Seasons, but he said, I do what? A new thing. Behold, see, because some of us are so steeped in the old season and we do not believe that we are on the threshold of a new one. And we are reminded in all seasons to remember that you are light. No matter the season, you are still light. Look at it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. It says, you are what? The light of the world. Did he say when it's winter, you are no more the light of the world? You are the light of the world when it's summer. Because everywhere is bright. So everybody's come out. So that's when you are the light of the world. You're still the light of the world when the weather is not good. You're still the light of the world when things look like they're not adding up. Are you still the light of the world? Thank you, Jesus. And it goes on to say, a city set on a hill cannot what? Be hidden, and that's who you are. They don't light a lamp and put it under the basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So don't hide your light. Hello? No matter the season you are in, don't hide your light. And God is about to do something amazing through you. So it says, let your light, Matthew 5:15 now, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. There he says what? Let. Now that's your part to do. That's your part, not God's part. Let means what? Allow. Allow. You are holding it back, but it says allow your light to what? Shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father in heaven. Glorify your Father. It's not you they're glorifying, but you must allow your light to shine. Praise God. How many people invited people to this event? Then you did let your light shine. You shared it on WhatsApp to your friends. You posted it somewhere. It's as simple as that. It's not rocket science. It's not in the big things that we are thinking. Praise God. Because that one person that then came or is watching on YouTube may later thank you and give glory to God. Like, I'm glad I didn't miss this. It lifted me. Praise God. Two, don't try to keep up with the seasons of other people's lives. Women, that was deep. Don't try to keep up with the seasons, because when she was speaking, I was saying that, she's buying my notes, but no. And then I wrote, your seasons are different from mine. So don't try to keep up with someone else's season. You have your season, I have my season. Because we talk generally about the seasons in the earth or in our cities where we are, you know, the winter, summer, and all that. But now when we bring it down to us as individuals, the season I'm in is different from the season Pastor Tony is in. Hello? So in this season, I travel a lot. I'm able to travel from city to city, from place to place. But it may not be like that forever. He might bring me into another season where I'll be doing it differently. I certainly couldn't do that 10 years ago. Maybe a little bit, but not back to back. Hello? Why? Because that was not the season of my life. That was not the season for them. Maybe in that season my children were young, so I had to stay more around. Hello? So someone that's looking at my season now says, I want to have her season. If God did not send you. Hallelujah. So don't compare. It just means that we shouldn't compare ourselves. Don't compare. Don't try to keep up with the seasons of other people's lives. You know, when they say don't look at the Joneses or whatever and all those things there, that's what it's saying. Because your season is different from mine. In one season, you might seem to be excelling. In one season, you might have faced disappointments, but you are still light. God is still with you. And he's still getting ready to usher you into a new season. He's still getting ready to spring forth something in your life. Amen. I'm being real now for that person that feels like, what have I done that things seem so gloomy? Look on the bright side, and that is true. Because in that gloominess, there's still something to be thankful for. Hello? So don't cry if you're in a season where it looks like life has been, you know, hard or harsh. I don't know who I'm talking to. Maybe the person is not even here right now. Some people may be watching from across nations at the moment, just enjoying this. God is a good God. He's not a wicked God. And he will bring you through in Jesus' name. Because he says, behold, I do what? A new thing. Behold means what? See. Don't see the former things. Don't be so, but see, be expectant that I am doing what? A new thing. So, In navigating seasons, we must be grateful. How do we cultivate gratitude? By looking for something to be thankful for. And sometimes when it's hard to find, you will still find. Even if it means thanking God for your set of teeth that are nice. That you can smile. Okay, let's not use that. What else? I always like to say, okay, you're crying. Someone is crying because of their sad and this. It's because you have tear ducts. Hello? Where are the doctors in the house? I don't know. Maybe there's a disease where you can't cry. You want to cry, but tears don't come out. I don't know if there is, but I think that might be possible, right? Because you won't have tears to cry. Thank God for the tears. But he says, I am ready to do something new. And I am excited about that. Why? Because in these times, you know, we've come through a dark season. The COVID and all that was generally a dark season. And that is general. Because inside COVID and during COVID, good things still happened. Good things still happen to people. It's just that many were not confident to share because you feel guilty that during COVID, I got a promotion at work. You feel like how dare, I mean, everywhere was sad when people were dying. But good things were happening also. But it's just that people didn't come out to share because of the sensitivity, because of the empathy, because generally the outlook was, we're counting the number of deaths, you know, and just seeing that, right? So someone will feel, how dare me say, I still enjoyed in that during that COVID. People will be like, what? You know? But really, good things still happened. But now that that is over, God says, light. I'm doing what? A new thing. For those 2-3 years is payback time. And that's the mission I'm on. In a season, I ran with the word love, and I'm still running with the love of God. That is ever constant. The most favorite scripture in the Bible that we knew when we were young, even when we're not saved. For what? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That even when we didn't know the meaning, we could reel it out, right? Love, love, love. And he has not stopped loving us. But recently, or was it from last year, I kept hearing the word light, light, light. So I take it that it's a season of light. To bring illumination, to bring awareness, to remind people that God is light. And Jesus said also that what? You are the light of the world. How are you bringing your light? And that's why when he says, I'm ready to do a new thing. I will make a road in the wilderness for you. I will make a way for you. Get ready to shine your light wherever you are. Praise God. It's not about holding on to your ways, but saying, Lord, what do you have next for me? What would you have me do? Sometimes we need to turn it around. Not just, Lord, what will you do for me? What will you do for me? Eh? I've asked for this. And God is saying that. I gave you my only begotten son. How will I not together with him bring you into all things that pertain to life and godliness? When I remember that, it's a gift that doesn't end. It's a one-time thing he did. And we're not saying, oh, he shouldn't do other things. God bless me with a new job. But if we tap into that one thing that someone hung on the cross for me, honestly, we can keep tapping from that. We can keep milking that, if some people want to use that word. We can keep drawing from that. Because what else beyond that? Everything he will do is already hidden in that. So how dare we even doubt his love? But he says, I will make what? A road in the wilderness. I don't know what you've been going through before now. That looks like you've been in a wilderness season. I don't know what looks dry. He already says you will not be barren. Hello? And not being barren also means in life, in your body, even in the fruit of your hands, and in life. He says, I will what? Make a road in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, all for you. But you have to believe. You have to believe. Stop holding on to the former season. Stop holding on to negativity. Be expectant. Let me see the eyes of an expectant person. Being expectant is not. Look at that. Look at that. Being expected is, and someone asks, what happened? You know, hey, have you got a promotion? I'm just being expected. Yes. That is, you know, people think, okay, good news has happened. And you're like, yes, indeed, good news has happened. Though you've not got the good news you're expecting, but you have an expectant attitude. Hello. So it's time to stop going around with a long face. Because I say, when you go around with a long face, it means you have a long way to go. But in Jesus' name, it will not be a long journey like that. God will cut it short. Yes. It all depends on what I'm thinking about. So if I feel sad on a particular day, I should think about the goodness of God, right? And if it's difficult to think about the goodness, okay, think about the last time you went to the beach. That's if you like going to the beach, right? Or some. Think about your wedding day. If you are married, for women, maybe on a particular day, you're not happy with your spouse. You're like, what's going on? But think about how happy you were on that wedding day. Hello? And just be expectant. Because God wants us to believe. He wants us to believe. So to believe, gratitude, do not compare, do not be confused about your season, have understanding. Because Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says, to everything there's a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Season. A time to born, a time to die. Hello? Well, that time to die will be far from now. Amen. Because that amen was low. As if there's a time to die one day. It's appointed once, right? It's just that it's not now for you in Jesus' name. You're at a ripe old age in Jesus' name. And if Jesus tarries, amen? Because if he comes tomorrow, I'm not holding on to ripe old age. I'm ready to go if he comes tomorrow. Praise God. It just shows that there's a time for everything. And things are changing. And go with God. Don't try to hold back. Don't try to wrestle with him. Thank you, Jesus. Still on encouragement, you lost that game. Does that make you a loser in life? No. That's how we've labeled ourselves. It was an event. Failure is an event. You're not a failure. Praise God. In games like that, one team must lose, one must win. Right? At that point in time, in that season. The season of what? Soccer, football, basketball. A team will win, another one will lose. But if you're on a team that lost, does that make you a loser? No, you're even already on a winner. You're a winner on the inside. Look at it. It's a game. It's life. It's changing. Praise God. And she said, woman's season, we can sometimes categorize it by age. And say, okay, at this age, you're not meant to do this. Or at this age, you're this and that. But really, sometimes it's just by grace. Because what you do at a certain age may not be what I would do at a certain age. So what? Someone graduated at 21, 22. And you are graduating at 40 from college because you didn't go on time. Does that make you a loser? No. That is the time that you had grace to go to college. I have grace to travel, to do what I'm doing now. Before, it wasn't a strong desire. Even if it was not the season for me. Hello? And it was not necessarily by age. Because everyone's race is different. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus started his ministry assignment at what? 30. And ended at what? 33. But his effect continues what? For a lifetime. So in that season, he had to work like, because he knew the season that he was in. Know your season and don't compare, and flow with God and be joyful through all the seasons and always be expectant with this word. I'm going to keep this word right before me all the time. Thank you for this theme. Thank you for the scripture. Praise God. I have not just come to give, but I've received as well. I'm going to keep it. I knew this scripture before, but I'm going to keep reminding myself. Nike, behold, I will do a new thing. Behold. So I'm going to be expectant every day for the new. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I know someone who started and backed to get a degree in law at age 60. Started at 60. And then you're there, you're 40, you're saying, oh, I have dreams, it's too late, or whatever. That's her season. She desired it, and she didn't think that age, she should use age to count herself out, but to use grace. So maybe at 60 she felt, I've been wanting to do this thing, and I feel I have grace to do it now. I'm going to go for it. Hello? So don't let anybody box you into a particular season because of your age. Hello? Okay, you are how old and you are not yet married. Why are you worried? You're worried because of the age. Leave age. There's a season you are coming into where you just find out that it's easy. And you just find yourself. And you'll be like, ah, when I was so and so age, brothers, guys were not coming. Nobody was going. Everyone was dry. Why now? Moreover, you just need one person. Hello? You don't need, oh, I had many guys chasing me. It's only one you need. And when the time is right, you just walk in that grace. I don't know who I'm speaking to. God says, I'm about to do it. I'm about to usher you into that season. Don't count yourself out because of age. Who says you have to marry at a certain age? Is your race their race? That's general. Yes, generally women will marry at, okay, 20-something, maybe early 30s. So now you're in your late 30s or you're 40 and you've counted yourself out. Who says? Your own. God is not going by general. He's going by specific. And he says, I am about to do a new thing. And that's why it's good that we read about Elizabeth and about Mary. I love this. There was a time I think I preached a message or so and I called it women two by two. And so there was Mary and Elizabeth. Mary had to go and look at Elizabeth for, you know, a kind of encouragement, a kind of confirmation. Elizabeth was old. She had, in terms of childbearing, she had been written off. Even she herself had written herself. Like, I'm old. But it happened. So when Mary said, okay, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And she said, go and check out Elizabeth. And she went. She said, Elizabeth is in her sixth month. It's just that she's hiding herself. And she went to look for her. And the Bible says Mary stayed there for 3 months. So obviously she stayed there till she delivered. And while she was there, Elizabeth said, ah, the baby in my womb is leaping. Why has the mother of my Lord come to me? Mary must have been like, ah, nothing is showing yet. Ah, I only just received this word. Just a few days ago that I have conceived, nothing is showing, flats. Of course, that was a confirmation. That means women two by two were powerful. But not like the Sarah and Hagar, or Hagar. Women two by two is make or break. Hello? That was a powerful combo, right? I also like to also read and talk about Mary and Martha. You know that story, very popular. I don't want to turn to you because if I start there, we'll not go and my time is up. Mary and Martha, we know the story. They were friends of Jesus, right? And Martha had the house, but Mary was the one that lived with her. It's there. The Bible says Mary lived with her sister. And Mary sat at Jesus' feet, but Martha was busy up and down, cooking, doing stuff, which is good. But was she doing it at the right time? Like the season was not, and she was frazzled and angry. She came to Jesus, and Jesus said, ah, the fact that I didn't force you to come and sit down and hear the word didn't mean that you are right. Hello? that in this season, this is the right thing. Mary has chosen the best part. Hallelujah. So those were two sisters that lived together, and it's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Esther had a season of discomfort, but God elevated her because he was ready to do a new thing, and she had to say yes. She had to say yes to go before the king when it was not convenient. What is God asking you to say yes to? He said, behold, I do a new thing. It will spring forth, I'll bring it to pass. So what is our part? To say yes, Lord. To say, Lord, I believe. And to be what? Expectant. That's what Mary said. At the end of the day, she said, Lord, be it unto me according to you. And then she was expectant. And she went to see Elizabeth because she was told that Elizabeth, she didn't say, Elizabeth, that can never be. She said, really? And she went to see for herself. People are going to seek you out. Yes. They're going to wonder and say, really? You mean that really happened to her? Ah, no, I must go and see by myself. Yes. I must go. That wedding, I must go. Yes. I must. The babies, twins, after how many years? We had. No. And what happens is that people's faith is ignited. Her faith was ignited the more when she went to Elizabeth. If it was true for Elizabeth, then obvious it's done for her. Let's stand up on our feet and just thank God. Father, we thank you. So many. You are light. You will outshine your season of despair in the name of Jesus. Oh, you will outshine every season of despair in the name of Jesus. Sadness will turn to joy. Sorrow will turn to gladness. Thank you, Jesus. The fire in you shall not be put out in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Joseph was in a season of pain, but it resulted in a season of elevation. God said, I'm getting ready to elevate you. Ha! Kalibo Santaria. That's for someone. I'm getting ready to elevate you. Prepare for it. Expect it. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the seasons of our lives. We are ready. We are ready. Thank you for showing us how to navigate these seasons, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. The former seasons will not define us. We are ready for the new. Have your way. Bring it upon us in the name of Jesus. And let it be evident before all in Jesus' name. If there's anyone going through depression right now, under the sound of my voice, and it's the voice of God, and it's the word of God, come out in Jesus' name. Come out of that pit. Come out of that darkness. Let the light of God shatter through your mind in the name of Jesus. Let it knock out the former things that you have held on to. Lord, do a new thing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. You're beautiful. You're amazing. God didn't have a nightmare when he made you. He says you are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Rise up, daughter of Zion. It is time to rise. It is time to shine forth. It is a new season that is upon us. Darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people. But he says my glory will arise, will be seen upon you. Isaiah chapter 60. Verse 1-3. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Darkness may be on the earth, but it says, upon you, arise and shine. Yes. It is season of light. Yes. It says, and kings will come to the brightness of your rising, not of your sitting in darkness and in despair, but of your rising. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord impressed on my heart is like, there are people that are looking at us and we don't know. And we are the Jesus and we are the light and we are the Bible that they're not reading. But they're reading us. And they're seeing how we are navigating the darkness in this world. It's not like we're denying the darkness that is going on. The rape, the killings, the everything. We can't begin to name all kinds of things that represent darkness. But people are saying, how you're carrying on. Is she also not in this world with us? Yes, you're from a different world. Get ready. Get ready. Tell your neighbor, get ready. A new season is upon you, and it's a season of elevation. In Jesus' name, amen.